Okay, boys and girls, thank you for joining us for worship today. I'm sure most of you would have gotten those questions correct, right? But Jesus was born in Dallas? Oh my, I don't think I ever heard that one before. But I do want to ask you a question this morning. And the question I want to ask you is, what do you look forward to the most this Christmas? What do you look forward to the most this time of year? And I'm just going to kind of come around and maybe talk to a few boys and girls. If you're brave enough, you can answer that question for me. Up, hands up. Who wants to answer that question? What do you look forward to the most this Christmas?
Presents.
Okay, good. Presents. I'm going to come over here, see if anyone was brave enough to talk. Sean, do you want to say anything?
Food.
Food, okay. Anyone else? What do you look forward to the most this Christmas?
Desserts.
Desserts. Your
nanny's
going to buy you. The Wii that your nanny's going to buy you. Okay, all right. You don't ask for much, right, Graham? Now, for some of us, I know that what we look forward to the most this Christmas, what we look forward to the most this time of year, is watching Star Wars. How many of you have already seen this, or you are planning on seeing it, or you want to see this in the next little while? Hands up. All right, quite a few. Honest people here, anyways. How many of you have been waiting for this for months? I mean, like, you actually marked it down on your calendar, and you've been wanting to see this. I know our very own Neil Balin. He's been marking this down on his calendar for months. Not only did he mark on his own calendar, he went to Shirley Ho's calendar, iPhone, and put it on her calendar. I don't know why he did that. But he supposedly saw it yesterday with the full garb on as well. How many were even born in 1977 when the first Star Wars movie came out? Okay, tentative hands, but you would have been at least 38, 39 years old for you to have been born. How many parents who raised your hands, adults who raised your hands, actually saw the very first Star Wars movie and saw Empire Strikes Back and also Return of the Jedi? Okay, good. And then how many of you then saw it again when your kids were growing up? So you actually paid for it twice. You went to see it yourself, and you also went to see it when your kids were old enough to see it. And now you may be seeing it for the third time all over again as you anticipate what's going to happen in Episode 7, The Force Awakens. Now, for others, what you look forward to the most this time of year is just the bargains and the sales. You look forward to spending time with family and friends. You can't wait to go on that long-awaited holiday that you've been wanting to go to, whether it be to Hawaii or to Cuba or wherever other exotic place you're going to. For some of you, you just couldn't wait for your exams to be over. I know you're writing up until last week and maybe even until this weekend, you're writing exams and you cannot wait until you have that chance to catch up on sleep, rest, and maybe even having some downtime with family and friends. And of course, we all look forward to the celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. We look forward to celebrating the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who was born to us, that we can be reconciled to God. This is a good thing. This is a good thing to celebrate. This is something that we as Christians should celebrate, should remind ourselves of each and every year. That God's love for us was so great that he sent his one and only son to us at Christmas. And so let us never be shy about this. Let us never be so politically correct that we don't feel like we can say Merry Christmas to those at work, that we can say Merry Christmas to those on the street that we meet, that we can say Merry Christmas to our family and friends even as we gather this Christmas season. After all, we need to remind ourselves And we need to remind everyone else that this time of year is about the birth of Jesus Christ. It's not about happy holidays. It's not about season's greetings. It's not about Star Wars. It's not about shopping or the eating that goes on. But even more of what we look forward to, even more of an anticipation for us as believers, is not only the birth of Jesus Christ. Not only when Christ came at the first advent, not only when he first came at the first coming, but his promise to return to us at the second advent, his second coming. And as we light our advent candle later on today, we'll be celebrating, we'll be acknowledging the candle that represents Christ, our coming King. Now, what do we know about Jesus' second coming? Do we even look forward to it? What can we expect when Jesus comes again? Or we don't really care. We'd rather just live on our lives for the rest of our days here on earth. We don't really want to think about Christ's return. If you've never thought about this before, I want to urge us to start thinking about it and to anticipate his return. But why should we? Why should we look forward to? Why should we long for Christ to return? You know, for me, I long for the day when a struggle between good and evil will be over forever. Don't you? We live in a world where this is so real. We see sin and evil all around us. I mean, all we need to do is to turn on the TV or read the newspaper, and we'll see this every day. You know, the reason I want to let you know, the reason I like watching Star Wars is because of the premise of the movie. It's about the struggle. It's about the struggle. It's about the battle between good and evil. And I still remember how shocked I was when I first found out that Luke Skywalker's father in the movie was none other than the dreaded Darth Vader. I was blown away for days. How could that be? There's no way. There's no way that Luke's father is the evil Darth Vader. How could he turn from good to evil? How could he turn to the dark side? It's as if when we found out that Satan in the Bible was at one time a high-powered, high-positioned angel who was given much authority by the Lord, but he rebelled against God because of pride. He fell from grace because he wanted to be like God. He wanted to be God. That is, he wanted to receive the worship that was due his name. It says in Isaiah 14, "How you have fallen from heaven, morning star, son of the dawn. You have been cast down to the earth. You who once laid You once who laid low the nations. You said in your heart, I will ascend to the heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the Mount of Assembly, on the utmost heights of Mount Zaphron. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. But you are brought down to the realm of the dead, to the depths of the pit." And then Jesus says to his disciples in Luke chapter 10, verse 18, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." When Jesus first came, he came as a suffering servant. He came as a suffering servant in order to save us from our sins. But he will return one day as the conquering King who will do away with evil and sin once and for all. and Satan will be thrown into the lake of fire, Revelation 20 says. And then Revelation 21, verse 3 and 4 says this, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain or sin and evil for that matter, for the old order of things has passed away.'" We look forward to and we long for Christ's return because he will come as the conquering king who will destroy sin and evil forever. And another reason why I look forward to, why I long for Christ's return, is so that I can be like Jesus and I can be in his presence for eternity. Now, there's this song called "We Shall Behold Him." It's a very, very old song sung by Sandy Patty. I was going to try to ask Pastor Larry to lead us in it, but I don't think he knows the song. I don't think even Nicholas knows that song. It's so old. But the song goes like this. And I won't try to sing this to you, okay, so don't worry. The words go like this. "The sky shall unfold, preparing his entrance. The stars shall applaud him with thunders of praise. The sweet light in his eyes shall enhance those awaiting, and we shall behold him then face to face. Oh, we shall behold him, we shall behold him face to face in all of his glory. Oh, we shall behold him. Yes, we shall behold him face to face, our Savior and Lord. The angels shall sound the shout of his coming, and the sleeping shall rise from their slumbering place, and those who remain shall be changed in a moment, and we shall behold him then face to face. We shall behold him. Oh, yes, we shall behold him face to face in all of his glory. We shall behold him. Yes, we shall behold him face to face, our Savior and Lord. And we shall behold him, our Savior and Lord. Savior and Lord." You know, this past year, Deb and I went to 10 weddings. That's a lot of weddings. We've never been to so many weddings before in one year. And as usual, every time we go to a wedding, you know, truly, the highlight, what people anticipate seeing the most of, and what they look forward to the most of, is when the bride comes down the aisle, right? When the bride walks down the aisle, or even before then, when the doors start opening, and the doors are open wide, and the music starts to play, and the pianist starts to play, and the bride walks down, literally, all eyes are upon her. Literally, all eyes are upon her. I know because I'm standing up there doing the wedding. And when people turn to her and look at her, it is a very special moment as she walks down the aisle. But you know what? What's even more special, and I want to encourage you to do that from now on as you go to weddings, is yes, do look at the bride because she spent all day, she spent all week, she spent all month preparing herself. So do look at her. But every now and then, glance over at the bridegroom who usually stands here. He's standing here, his hands tucked like this, and he's looking at her. He's looking at the bride as she walks down the aisle. And the look on his face is priceless. It really is priceless. It's the look of a person who longs to be with their bride. It's the look of a person whose love for her is so great. It's the look of a person who is anticipating their life together. I long for the day when I can see my Lord Jesus Christ face to face. I long for the day when I can look in his eyes and no matter what I've done in life, good or bad, his eyes says it all. His eyes that speak of love, of forgiveness, of compassion, of mercy. I long for that day when I can behold my Savior face to face. And so as we look forward to Christ's return, we can look forward to the fact that he will be the conquering king. who will come back and destroy evil and sin once and for all for eternity. And as we look forward to Christ's return, we can also look forward to the fact that we will be like Jesus and will be in his presence forever. It says in First John chapter 3, dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. What a glorious moment that would be. What a glorious time for God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, and the Spirit of God to embrace his children, to embrace those who have called him Lord and Savior. So what will Jesus' second coming look like? Well, it'll be very personal, and it'll be personal and physical. Luke wrote this in Acts chapter 1, verse 11. And just before he said this, what was happening was Jesus was giving his final words to the disciples. And as he spoke these final words to them, they were looking intently up at the sky as Jesus was lifted up from them into heaven before their very eyes. And two angels who were with them at the time said this, "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you've seen him go into heaven." It will be personal and physical, as Jesus himself will return to earth for us. Not just some representative of his coming to get us, but Jesus himself will come for us. Now, there may be different interpretations, different understandings of what this may look like, of what Christ's second coming may look like. But my personal view, my personal study of God's Word, as well as the Christian and Missionary Alliance viewpoint and belief in this, is this, that there will be two appearings of Jesus' second coming. His first appearing will be at the start of the tribulation, known as the rapture. And at this time, Jesus will come like a thief without warning to take away believers, to take away the church, and those in the body of Christ, those who are part of the bride of Christ, will be lifted up to meet the Lord, to meet our bridegroom in the air. Paul wrote of this in 1 Thessalonians when he said, "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever." And then after this rapture, a period of tribulation will take place for 7 years. Of which it will be a terrible time. It will be a dreadful time. It will be an awful time for those who are left behind. Jesus said in Matthew 24, "For then there will be great distress, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again. If those days had not been cut short, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened." And then after the tribulation, Jesus will return with his people, and will reign in the world for 1,000 years. This will be his second appearing. His second appearing. And during this reign, Satan will be bound. He'll be bound. He'll be thrown into the abyss. While those who are with the Lord, those who are the Lord's himself, who are his, will be priests, the Bible says in Revelation 20. They will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. And so we can definitely look forward to this. We can look forward to serving our Lord and reigning with our Lord along with all the other believers for the sake of the gospel. And then there are many other things that will take place after that as well, of which will be the judgment, the new heaven and new earth, the new Jerusalem. But we don't have time to get into that today, maybe another time. So how should we prepare? How should we prepare ourselves, given that Jesus' return is imminent? How do we prepare ourselves? Well, first, we need to be ready. We need to be ready. We need to be watchful. We should be certain of Christ's unexpected and sudden return, because his coming would happen at any moment. There are no other events that need to take place before Christ returns, before the first appearing that we're talking about. It's actually the next major event in the history of the world, in God's plan for the world. It will certainly happen, the Bible says, but it will happen at a time when we do not expect it. And Jesus urges us to therefore keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. We must be ready. We need to get ready. Second, we need to be righteous. We should live holy and godly lives as we look forward to Christ's return. That is, we desire to present ourselves pure and blameless when Christ returns, transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is what we lit when we lit the second week, the candle that represented Christ, our sanctifier. To be transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit so that we can live holy lives for him. You see, we will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That's certain. We will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And we'll be rewarded based on how we've lived and what we've done with our lives. It says in Titus 2, verse 12, it, that is the grace of God, it teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. We need to turn away from worldly things, from worldly desires, from worldly pursuits, so that we can live a life to honor Christ in all that we do, in whatever we say and do. And then thirdly, we need to be reaching out. We need to be reaching out. We need to share and live out the gospel message in our lives in anticipation of Christ's return. We do so to our friends, our family members, our neighbors, our co-workers, those that God has given to us opportunity in which we share our lives with. And so we do that in order to speed Christ's coming and his return. Jesus said in Matthew 24, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Paul urges us in 1 Corinthians 15 to always give ourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Elder Jansen mentioned about the service that's coming up this coming Thursday. And I just want to show you a short clip of what you may want to decide to do as you consider your family, your friends, those that you love, those who you want to be there when the Lord returns, those who you want to have them also embrace the Lord when He returns. I just want to show this video as an opportunity to encourage you to consider potentially asking someone to come. Brothers and sisters, we need to be ready. We need to be righteous. We need to be reaching out. I've already given this invitation to about 6 or 7 of my neighbors in the townhouse complex that I live at. I want to encourage you, before you leave today, would you pick one up? Would you prayerfully consider who you can give this invitation to? Would you prayerfully consider God will prepare their heart? And we will present a simple gospel message that evening. And the topic of the message, just so that you have an idea of what we're going to be talking about, is God's peace. God's peace. And we'll invite people to receive God's peace into their lives that evening. So even though you can't be here, please pray for us as we outreach to our friends, family members, and our community that day on Thursday. On the first week of Advent, we lit the candle that represents Christ, our Savior. And the following week, sir, I'm going to invite our worship team to come forward at this time. Pastor Larry, you can come forward with your team. On the second following week, we lit the candle that represented Christ, our sanctifier. And last week, we lit the candle that represented Christ, our healer. And then today, we will light the candle that represents Christ, our coming King. And even though, like I mentioned about a month ago, even though we wanted to do something differently this year and not just light the candle that represents, you know, peace, love, joy, and hope, in a sense, that's what we did these last 4 weeks. For you see, when we lit the candle that represented Christ, our Savior, we were literally lighting the candle of peace. Because it is God Himself, Christ Himself, that gives us peace with God. When we lit the candle that represented Christ, our sanctifier, we were actually lighting the candle of love. What love God must have for us to not leave us the way that we are. Sinful. He came. And He wants us to become holy, become righteous, to be people of God, transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. That was His love for us. And when we lit the candle last week that represented Christ, our healer, in essence, we were lighting the candle of joy. What joy there is when we are spiritually healed. What joy there is when some of us experience God's physical, emotional, mental healing upon our lives. And one day we will all experience the joy of being in the Lord's presence as He heals us forever. And when we lit the candle that represented Christ, our coming King, today, we are, in essence, lighting the candle of hope. For what better hope we have than to know that our Lord will come for us again one day. That His promise to collect us as His people, to lift us up into the sky, and then to have us come back down to reign with Him for 1,000 years, and then to spend eternity with Him in heaven. What greater hope that is for each one of us. What better hope that is than that. It says in the very last verse, the last two verses of the Bible, in Revelation 22, verses 20 and 21. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Come, Lord Jesus. Grace, Lord Jesus, be with God's people. Amen.